Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A California Supreme Court ruling this week makes it harder to classify gig workers as independent contractors. The ruling is considered a victory for the workers, in this case, delivery drivers, who'd filed a class action lawsuit against the company that hired them. Under the new standard, workers would be considered employees if they perform tasks that are, quote, the usual course of the company's business. The ruling is prompting companies like Uber and Lyft and other players in the gig economy to question whether they need to reclassify their contractors as employees. Saba Wahid is research director at the University of California, Los Angeles Labor Center. Saba, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I imagine you support this decision by California's high court. Why?
The whole issue of independent contracting, what we worry about is that it's just an excuse to let employers off the hook from being responsible for what's happening in the workplace. It basically shifts most of the risk of the work onto, you know, the driver or the worker, while basically getting the benefits of that labor. In some ways, it incentivizes employers to go for the independent contractor. It's 20 to 30% cheaper to have someone be an independent contractor than to be an employee. And then you don't have to worry about minimum wage, overtime, providing health insurance, workers' comp, on and on and on in terms of benefits. And so we don't want it to be where companies are choosing that category, not so much because that's what they are, but because it's a more lucrative model for them in terms of their business. And a lot of times the law is fuzzy enough that you can put them in either category. And what we want is more clarity around that.
What's your response then to employers that say the lower costs help their company grow, which then creates more gig opportunities for people?
But then all it's doing is it's just growing low wage, precarious, you know, income unstable jobs. And a lot of gig companies have actually pushed back on that and said, okay, let's try the employee model so that you can have workers that you can retain. You know, we know that we're in a workplace where the kind of standard job is changing, but it doesn't have to go completely to this other place of, you know, very even more precarious, even more contingent work.
What do you say to gig workers who say they like the flexibility of being an independent contractor?
I mean, we're working on a project right now where we've been talking to Uber and Lyft drivers, and we find it really interesting because they'll talk about how they like being their own boss and they don't consider the company their boss. And at the same time, they're really struggling with not having certain kind of workplace protections like minimum wage, like overtime, like having, you know, worrying about the wear and tear on their car, worrying about what's going to happen if they get sick or into an accident or all of these things. And you want the flexibility and you also want those workplace protections. So for me, the question back is, what do we do about that?
Do you see the ruling, the criteria that California employers will now have to use to satisfy classifying workers as independent contractors, do you see that having a national effect? I know that very similar rules are in place in Massachusetts and New Jersey. Do you expect that to grow?
I think it will set a tone, but I think that there's still a long road ahead. This will help court cases that happen in California, but a lot of these companies are already lobbying in multi-states to create carve-outs, so to keep the technology networking companies out of this kind of employee classification. So I think just as much as this is one step forward, there are also other steps that are happening to make sure that this doesn't happen. So we'll see kind of state by state, you know, how this kind of can transform that.
Do you think there's some kind of middle ground here? There have been proposals to try to strike a balance.
There have been. You know, there have been recommendations to have a third category, that our laws have become too old, that we're talking about, you know, laws that were built for factory floors, and now these are completely different kinds of workforces. So I do think that we need to kind of think about what is fitting into our current legal systems and what's not. But what that kind of new policy could look like that can hold all of these, I don't know that I've seen it yet. And I don't know that the third category is the way either.
Are you hearing or expecting that a lot more independent contractors will sue to be reclassified as employees?
We are. There are other challenges because of a lot of the drivers or the different workforces will sign in their contract that they won't join class action suits. So in some ways, there's already some barriers to being able to do that. But I think for the ones that can, that will continue. And now they're working with kind of a different set of principles, and so that they could potentially have different outcomes.
Saba Wahid is research director at the UCLA Labor Center. Saba, thank you.
Thank you so much.